These are interesting times. And I will tell you that I was fully prepared to continue on with the book of Acts this morning. And at 1 o'clock last night, what I presumed was going to happen, which is that I was going to head in a different direction, is what happened. So I'm really glad I didn't record the message on Friday, because whoever saw it on YouTube would have been absolutely, totally confused after talking to people that were here. And so we're recording it this morning and are going to post it on YouTube immediately after service so that our 6:30 time tonight on Zoom, we can talk about it. But Lord, I just thank you for all that you have done for us during this time and in all times. And Lord, please help me to speak from my heart this morning about how I'm feeling about the world, and just guide my thoughts and my words. And Lord, again, we just praise you and thank you for who you are and what you are and all that you're doing and have done in our lives. And I just pray these things in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. I want to talk about my thoughts. I want to talk about church. I want to talk about gathering, and I want to talk about my thoughts on this day, what it means to me, and everything that's around that. It was, I've been involved in crisis management for years. So when the pandemic kind of hit, it was one of those things of, you know, it's like, it's almost like you hear the music from in playing in your head, like from the John Wayne movie about Red Dead. It's like, dun dun, you know, okay, now's the time. I can spring into action and do kind of the stuff that I'm familiar with. And isn't that going to be great and wonderful? But then I realized how much, how personal it is, and how it's not cold and antiseptic. It's very, very personal and very, very real. And so on the one hand, there's things that we can do and try and do Zoom and all of that sort of stuff. And that's great. But then there's that very, very personal side of making sure everybody's okay. And I think that you guys all did a fantastic job of that. And I think it's one of those things that we have to realize that it's because of this church family and how everybody feels about each other and all of that sort of thing, that was very real for us here, where it may not be real for others. One of the things that has really struck me through this process of watching kind of the Zoom call. I mean, did anybody ever think that we would know what Zoom was 4 months ago? That we would have any idea of how to post videos to YouTube? I mean, I was joking with Lynn the other day on the phone. I said, she told me that she'd been watching on YouTube. And I said, well, I've got a face for radio. And it's one of those kind of things that it's just, it's nothing that we had even contemplated or even were thinking about, but they're tools that the Lord provided us to allow us to kind of remain together. I mean, I was riding up the elevator with somebody at our building, and they said, well, how's it going? And I said, well, I never thought I'd be a televangelist. You know, I mean, I never thought that we would be in this place. I mean, I never thought I would be talking to, I mean, you don't know how great it is to have people here to look at and talk to, as opposed to trying to look at, you know, a couple of pictures that people would put in here of faces, and that process of imagining what everybody looks like as you're standing up here. First off, you know, I hate being up here on the platform. I like being down below, but CDC guidelines, it's apparently that I would argue to them that the trajectory being up here high would take it further, but they're not buying it. So, but one of the things that I saw through this whole process is growth. I saw people diving deep with the Lord. I saw people spending time with Jesus. I saw people diving deep in prayer and really growing and blossoming in their faith. I don't think we're a group of people that spend an inordinate amount of time watching, you know, streaming, or what do you call it, where you watch the whole TV series, binge watch, where you binge watch a whole TV series in one shot. I mean, it's one of those kind of things where I think people were getting deep. And one of the things that from this time that really was, I was thinking about it hard last night, and why the outline came you know, the new outline came out, was that I don't want to lose that. I don't want us to go from a place, because it's real easy, it's real subtle, and it can really happen very quickly, where you say, okay, I've gone down, I've gotten deep, I've gone into a deeper relationship with God. Whew, now we can go back to church. Things can kind of get back to normal. We can greet and all of that kind of stuff, and I can go back to my regular life. This is a time to not be thinking about going back to our regular life, because regular life is going to be different. It's different right here, right now. I mean, listen, when we started this process, I mean, one of the things that was really, really super interesting for me, I was telling some of the people about it on the Zoom call, is I went back Friday morning and listened to the first message that we ever posted on YouTube. My thought in doing that was, okay, where was my head at when we were doing that? Where was my head at when we first started down this trail? And it was kind of a super interesting look, because it's very clear that we did not know what was going to happen. We did not know how long this was going to be happening, or if we were ever going to be, you know, really apart and, you know, closed and all of that. And, you know, some trepidation, but not like we hit a couple of weeks after that, where now all of a sudden it's just me here talking to an iPhone to post on YouTube. I mean, this is really an interesting, interesting time. I mean, it's really different. I mean, it's one of those kind of things. I get the emails all the time from, you know, these pastoral leadership people going, let me show you how to lead your church through a pandemic. Partner, you don't know how. Because nobody knows how. This is something nobody's ever been through before. So how are we going to do it, and how are we going to continue to grow and develop as we're doing it? I mean, one of the things that was really, really super interesting is, you know, I've watched, I think I've shared it with some of you on the Zoom calls. I mean, we watched The Robe, we watched the Ten Commandments, we watched the American Gospel, Christ Alone, and American Gospel, the cross alone. I mean, we've watched all this stuff. It's really great. Read a lot of books, did a lot of things. But one of the series that I've started watching is a series called The Chosen. And you can see it on YouTube. And you can watch episode by episode. And basically what it is a kind of a deeper dive into the personalities of the apostles and the people kind of surrounding Jesus during that time. One of the really deep dives is obviously Simon, or Peter is a focal point of the series. And in episode 7, it's about Matthew and Matthew's calling to come with Christ. And they really follow Matthew 9:9, where Matthew is called very, very faithfully. I mean, like anything else, they take a few liberties, but not terribly so. But in any event, Jesus turns around and looks at Matthew in his tax collector's booth and says, Matthew. And he goes, yes. He goes, follow me. And Matthew starts buttoning up the tax collector booth. And the Romans are kind of going, wait a second. You got it better than any Jew in the country. What are you doing? Are you nuts? You think? And he just, I'm following him. And Simon, Peter, comes up to Jesus and says, what are you doing? Don't you know this is a tax collector? Don't you know who this guy is and what he's all about? And Jesus says, who are you when I called you? And Simon says, well, that's different. He's a tax collector. And Jesus looks at him and says, get used to different. That's my battle cry now. I'm just going to tell you, get used to different. Because it's easy to look at this stuff and say, it's really different. Okay, maybe that's not a bad thing. Maybe that's a really good thing. Maybe this whole thing that we, you know, of complacency in, look, I love a potluck as much as anybody else. I love the things that we do here, and I hope that before too long we're back to being able to do a lot of those things. What I wanted, what I visualized on this day, way back when this all started, was we'd be out in the parking lot with a barbecue, and I'd be hugging everybody, and appropriately, and sorry, but that it would be a real celebration, a real rejoicing. And you know what? It's not that way. We're in these face masks. I can't stand a face mask, by the way. First off, as these guys told me just a second ago, my mask doesn't fit. I've got a great big head and small ears. it's not working. So Vicki and Michelle pointed that out to me, and they were absolutely right. I came up with a big head part all on my own. They just said it didn't fit. They were very kind. But in any event, we've got this stuff. We've got social distancing. We've got signs every place. It's different, but we're back together again, and it's the same. So I don't want to see us slide back out of complacency, because it's easy to do that. Let me tell you something. In the business world, I'm used to going in and seeing. I mean, you always see when you go into a place in absolute crisis, you walk in the door and there's the receptionist, and he or she looks like they're a deer in the headlights because they've had nothing but trauma for however long this crisis has been going on. And the only thing they expect from you is to show them a badge, because that's what they think is coming next. And then you go through this period of time where things kind of settle down, and then the biggest challenge you've got is you go right back into the old patterns and the old ways of doing things. And so what this, I think, for us is, let's not waste this time. Let's look at the things that, the growth and the things that we did, and keep it going forward. I think it's a time all the way around for the church to step up. I've talked about that before. I'll continue to talk about it. If we look around us and we see our society deteriorating, I think in many ways it's because the church has lost its position as the beacon, as the lighthouse in the storm, as the sound point where everybody knows that they can go to for truth and real talk. And I think that the church has to get back to that point. I don't think it's missing here, but I think it's got to be even more so here, and more so churches across the land. We've got to reclaim cultural integrity. We've got to reclaim truth. We've got to be about Jesus. We've got to be about the gospel, and we've got to be about sharing it with everybody that's out there. This is a world that needs our Jesus. Absolutely, positively, no questions about it. Now, is the physical assembly of the church important? I mean, that's a question that's being asked. I mean, one of the dangers that we've faced in this time is that people are kind of getting used to watching church online. Now, let me tell you something. If people have concerns, health, safety, those things, that's why we're continuing to do YouTube. That's why we're continuing to do the Zoom calls and things like that, because those are real. I validate those. They're serious, okay? So that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, in general, people, you know, do I really need to go to church? Or can I kind of do this a la carte thing where I listen to this pastor preach a message, I go over and listen to this worship music, I go down to this organization to do my good deeds, and that's what church has become. The reality is in 1 Corinthians 11:18, for in the first place, when you come together as a church, 1 Corinthians 14:23, if therefore the whole church comes together, what is Paul doing? What is Paul saying about a gathering of believers in that instance? He's presuming that that's what they do. That's what a church does. They gather together. And that's his presumption. There's plenty of places in Scripture where we're told to gather together. But if you look at what Paul is saying, he's presuming that people are going to gather as a church. It's just who we are and what we are. If there is no gathering, I would suggest to you there is no church. It's just people watching on video. Look, we were forced in this time to do things differently. We tried a lot of, we were really kind of lucky in some ways in that the first things that we kind of tried kind of worked in terms of Zoom and that sort of stuff. But we did have people who, you know, for any number of reasons, weren't able to participate in that. So I think we did the best that we could, and I think we were obedient in doing that stuff. But we have to realize that that wasn't church. That wasn't what God looks at in terms of a body of believers gathering together. That wasn't church. That was our best effort to try to replicate church. And I think God honored that because he knew we couldn't get together physically and we were doing our best. But there is no substitute for gathering together. And that's something that we see throughout Scripture. A picture is painted for us of the nation of Israel having been rescued from Egypt, gathered together at Mount Sinai to hear God's law. Moses later referred to that incredible moment in Deuteronomy 9:10 as the Day of Assembly. At other key moments in the history of Israel, the people of Israel similarly gathered as an assembly before their covenant God. Judges 22, 1 Kings 8:14, and 1 Chronicles 28:8. The word in the Greek translation of the Old Testament for assembly is ekklesia, which is the same word used by the New Testament writers to refer to the local church. It is simply a term for gathering, but when applied to the church, it carries the same Old Testament connotations of standing together as God's chosen people. Now, are God's people going to be scattered on occasion? Yes, they are. Will he gather them back together? Yes, he will. Have we, in essence, gone through a period recently where we were kind of scattered? Yeah. We were in the middle of a pandemic, which is still there, by the way. I mean, it's still there. It hasn't gone away. I mean, we're being super careful, and it's great to all be back together again, but one of the things that we have to remember is it's still there. We have to be ready for maybe another lockdown in the future. I don't want to see it, praying against it, praying for the elimination of this, but we have to be about God's business in whatever we can do. And we're regathering today. 1 Corinthians 10:31. So, whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. What does that mean? It is for us. It is for the church. It is for our movement into the world. Are we doing everything that we possibly can to show the world the glory of God? I've said it before, I'll say it again. These are times when the church should shine. These are times of incredible opportunity. We have had conversations with Mary Lyon Elementary School. Mary Lyon is deeply concerned that the children at that school are behind, and they want to know, seriously behind, and they want to know if we're willing to stand ready to help in that process in a way that makes sense. We don't quite know what that process that makes sense is yet, but we're working towards it. But let me just tell you something. I don't want to be standing before God at some point in my life and be watching the video of my life when the Tacoma Public School District said, you can, if you will help us, help these children, we really don't care if you tell them about Jesus. I do not want to be the person that said, whoa, wait a second. That sounds a little risky to me. Let me tell you something. These are times when we are going to be presented with opportunity not only to speak into the lives of the children, not only to be able to speak into the lives of the people around us in the neighborhood, but people everywhere. They want to know about Jesus. This is a time to shine. This is a time to step out and to move out into what God has for us to do and tell the world about Jesus. Tell them about him. Show the light of Jesus to the world. And if somebody opens that door a crack, we got to be ready to kick it in. Because it matters. It matters that much. God did not cause the pandemic. I don't believe that in the slightest. We live in a fallen world. But God will use the pandemic for his glory. God will use the pandemic as an opportunity for us to grow deeper in our faith, to grow closer in our relationships with each other, to appreciate each other more. I've always appreciated you guys. I love you all dearly. You don't know how much more I appreciate you now. As I look out into this group, I mean, first off, thank you all for being here. Thank you all for, you know, being honoring our space requirements and all of that, but you don't know how much more I appreciate the fact that we can gather together as a body of believers and worship Jesus together. I don't think anybody here took it for granted that there was church. But I think we view it differently now. I think we see it as something different. I think we see it as more than we saw it before. And that's a good thing. That's a really, really good thing. If we see our opportunity to move out and tell the world about Jesus as an opportunity, not a burden, as an opportunity. Look, one of the things that can hinder our ability to go out in the world is fear. What's going to happen if that person rejects me? What if that person ridicules me for telling them about Jesus? How much do we have to hate somebody to not tell them about Jesus? Because let me tell you, if they don't know Jesus, they're headed in only one direction, and that's hell. And I'm not afraid to say it. I know that in some circles, talking about hell ain't such a popular thing. It needs to be a popular thing. We need to talk about the consequences of decisions that are being made out there by people. We need to talk about where life in this world leads people. In love. Recognizing that what people need more than anything else is Jesus. This is our opportunity. Look, we've never been through a pandemic before. And it's been scary. And it's been difficult. And we've kind of taken baby steps through this process. But this is our opportunity to shine. This is our opportunity to reach out and touch the world for Jesus. And what we need to do more than anything else is to realize that. And realize that God will be with us. I mean, we're in Acts, and we'll be back in Acts next week. I promise. I shouldn't promise because I don't know what's going to happen. But we talked about Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. That time is now. It's always been there. But now the door's open. This is the time to step out. The Acts church is what we're seeing more of. It looks more like that. And with that comes the obligation and the privilege to take the message of God literally to the ends of the earth. And the ends of the earth start here. And oh, by the way, when this was being written by Luke, the ends of the earth, if you had told him where Tacoma, Washington was, he would say, yep, that would be the end of the earth. That's about as far away from Jerusalem as he could imagine somebody being. It's going to be different, but we just need to get used to different. Lord, I just thank you for today. I thank you for the opportunity to gather back together as we are today. And I praise you. I thank you. Lord, it is such a blessing to be together. And Lord, I am feeling emotion of all different kinds. And just thank you. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you. We praise you for protecting us, preserving us, and being with us. And Lord, just continue to be with us in this process. And I pray these things in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.